We're going to jump right into the message for this afternoon. And it's entitled, got a very deep title. It's called Knowing Jesus. And I think it's, if you look at the golden thread of what the Holy Spirit has been saying to us as a church the last number of weeks, it is very clear that the bottom line of that is we need to know Jesus. And we'll break that open swiftly just now. But I brought a word 3 weeks ago, I think. As in the days of Noah, and I know you've been listening and hearing and seeing a lot of that, or maybe you hear for the first time in a while, then it's good to have a refresher. But I believe it's a word that came in intercession. Once again, let's go pray. That's where things happen. It happened in intercession where the Lord just showed me the ark and then said, as in the days of Noah, that kind of also came along at the perfect time with Karin having a dream about the rapture and worrying if Pietri was taken away by the Lord and she left behind. But luckily, they're both still here. So she had that dream along with this word. And thereafter, we jumped into an answer Jesus gave them in Matthew 24 and 25, saying that, hey guys, Christ is coming back. So if you forget everything else, remember this. We believe that Christ is coming back. He's calling us to be a people that knows Him and to have our oil lamps filled up. And that's what we shared last week. So we looked at Matthew 24, 37, that says, as in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. And so we see two things. We see a really broken, messed up culture that we find ourselves in, not judging, not being holier than thou, but with our hearts yearning for salvation for many. We look at a very dark time of living for mankind. And so we also see that Scripture clearly says, Jesus Himself said, I'm coming back and you will not know it. You will not see me coming. It will be a moment where we didn't exactly know He was coming, and such will be the same as it was in the days of Noah with the flood. And so we're just saying to one another, hey, we're not one of those weird kooky bunch of clans saying, hey, He's going to come back in September, so please sell everything and give it to the pastor. No, we're not doing that. Chill. We're just saying, we believe the Spirit is pressing upon our hearts, and it's luckily not only us, that Christ is really returning, and we need to live ready. So we leave the date and the time up to Father God, because according to Scripture, only He knows. But we want to be a people that lives ready. Because we see lots of things, and again, He says to us in Matthew 24, and He warns us of persecution, being hated. Many that will turn away from the faith, and we've seen that. Being betrayed, hating each other, getting and falling for offense, having false prophets and deception, and the increase of wickedness and lawlessness. And so these are kind of heavy ones, but it's a reality we need to look in the eye. And then what struck my heart and what we've said to each other in this time is that the love of many will grow cold. So check your love. Let's just very simply check your love. Stay in love. Why? Because the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And so last week we said, oh, Lord, help us. What's the answer? He says, hey, be like the wise virgins. So 10 virgins, speaking of what would be a metaphor for a church, 5 of them, half of them having oil, the other half not having oil. And then the ones not having oil, as the bridegroom returns, says, hey, please give me some of your oil. What's that? Time, relational time with the Holy Spirit, walking by the Spirit of God, having oil, relational oil in your lamp. And the 5 that's about to run out say, please just give us some of yours. Just share with me. The wise one says, so, no, sorry, go buy for yourselves. And so you know the rest of the story, and we went through all the details. But here's the beautiful part is, is that you can't give your oil to somebody else, firstly. And secondly, it comes at a cost. It comes at a price to have oil in your lamp. So who's been working at the oil this week? Okay, julle 3. Cool. Hoe kan jy nie aan jou olie gewerk nie, Yuri? Hè? Jy gaan nie myne kry nie. Sê maar net, volgens die woord. Jokes aside, we don't want to throw away prophetic things, prophetic things and metaphors and this symbolic things we see in the Word. We don't want to just throw them around, because there will be a day when Christ returns, and then He will turn to you, or He might turn to you and say, I do not know you. And that breaks my heart. For there's people sitting in church pews all over the place. And Christ will say to them, I do not know you. So if you want to sum up this whole mini-series that's been evolving of what we believe the Holy Spirit, what God is saying to us as a church, hey guys, be ready. But live ready, actively, with me, relationally, in holiness, in reverence, in awe. But also as me, as your Father, and we'll see now as a good shepherd as well. Why? Because when I return, there will be this one question. Let's not kid ourselves, guys. There will be this one question, and the question will be, did he know you, and did you know him? So turn to your neighbor and ask, do you know him? Oh, our favorite part, eh? Our favorite part. Demi, did you do that? Thank you, Demi. We might snigger, we might laugh, but when, as I said last week, when I start talking about my daughters, I realize that this is not just a flippant thing that I could just brush off. The Lord is warning us, hey, I'm coming back. I want my daughters, for instance, like with all of you the same, I would love my daughters to have oil in their lamps and Jesus Christ saying, no, oh, your dad was a pastor. Yes, please do come in. No, it's got nothing to do with it. They knew him personally. They had oil in their lamps and that's my heart. So just if you look at the season, maybe just stepping back, looking at the season, you can go to the next slide. There's just, and the next one. Please and thank you. There you go. If you don't remember all the things I do say, remember these. Hey, we need to be a church that lives ready, a people, families that live ready. Not weird, please. We don't have to be weird about it. It is scriptural, and the Spirit is upon that. But we need to live ready. Don't worry about when you're 64 or 85 or whatever the case may be. Say thank you for today and say, how can I live ready today, Lord? Let's not live like the culture we find ourselves in. Live ready. Share him. If you've got this news, if you know this ark, so to speak, if you know Christ is the only way of safety unto eternity, share that if you actually believe that. So share him with other people. Have oil in your lamp. Make sure it's full. And then the bottom line, and that's what we're just going to look at today, is do we actually know Jesus? Do we actually know Jesus? Maybe just quickly, because we've got so much time, what does it mean to know Jesus? Anybody? What does it mean to know Jesus? And then the flip side of that, to be known by Jesus Christ. Anybody? Nita? Amen. That initial meeting of Christ is that he washes away your sin. Who remembers that day when you got saved, born again, filled with the Spirit? The rest of you, can I quickly lead you to the Lord? Grappie. No, but we all remember that day, or it might not have been a day, it's kind of a bit of a process, a period of time. I distinctly remember my baptism when things just changed. What else does it mean to really know Jesus or to be known by Jesus? We also know Adam knew Eve. It's a quite intimate thing. I'm not going to go into the semantics of that, but it's not just, ken van Osbota, because I've watched There's a Zulu on my stoop, and I've seen Leon Schuster make fun of him. No, it is, I actually know the person as much as I know my wife or my children, or in my case, some of you guys that I've spent a number of years with. What does it mean to know Jesus? Sorry, spend time with him, Mike? Talk to each other. Yes. Yes, very simply, talk to each other. Anybody else? Any last? Pietri? Ah, love it. To know the voice, the teaching, and example of Jesus. That could be the sermon in totality. I think it is. Somebody else, Joe? Knowing the character of God, yes. Yes. Yes, that is so good. The character of God. So both of these answers are so important in the days and times we live in, because why? They said deception will be there. False prophets will stand up. False Jesuses will stand up. And so we need to discern who the real one is that speaks to us. Wow, that's quite deep. I can't even repeat that. Yes? Yes, the more you know Him, the more you need to know Him. I like that. But yeah. Yes, the intention. Amen. Amen. So we get to know, I like character and I like heart, or the word intention. We get to know His intention. That even when you then go through tough seasons, you can trust. Right? Because we didn't get promised this beautiful, easy life once we've said yes to Him. In fact, I've seen my life actually sometimes be more testing in following Jesus. But then the intent, the heart, the character, the ways and examples and all the other things that you've said is so valuable. I'm just going to highlight five elements. We might only get to three because of time. But the five elements that I've highlighted in knowing Jesus, because we don't want to be caught napping. When He arrives, we want to stand there, and it shouldn't even be a question. It's like, hi, Jesus, thank you. Yes. Oh, wow. Yeah, it's amazing. And then you just walk in. It shouldn't be a question. Even if it's a question in your heart now, you need to say, Lord, we need to deal with this. And please, please, there's no condemnation, but there may surely be conviction when we share these things, right? So the five things is, the first one is believing in Jesus. It's called faith. Believing in Jesus. The second one, Peter mentioned it, and it's hearing His voice. The third thing tonight will be following Jesus. Fourth thing is loving Jesus. And the last one is your favorite, sacrifice and suffering. Say sacrifice and suffering. We can hashtag that till the cows come home. But yes, that's part of knowing Jesus, sacrifice and suffering. So those five things, we're going to see how far we can get. I don't want to rush it too much, but what we need to take home in this season is, do I actually know Him? And that is important. So the first one is believing in Jesus. John 1:12 says, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, that's all of us, He gave the right to become children of God. That's beautiful. So we believe in His name. We've called upon His name. We've professed faith in Him. We've been baptized. And so we are children of God. And so we also know John 3:16. But we also know that 2 Timothy 3 says that some at the last days will do all junk. They will do many things. They will hold on to a form of godliness or religion, but they will deny the power. There will be no real relationship there. And so we need to be careful. It is not only saying once off, I believe, but it is then living in such belief, living a faith-filled life. James challenges us and says, yes, you can have faith, but where's the works? Can I see that you actually believe Jesus? So the question beckons. If I say I know Jesus, what does my life look like? Can my neighbor say, I think he might know Jesus? Or my kids? It's actually sometimes maybe the toughest one. With the guy down the street, or the guy on Facebook, or the guy that sees me driving when nobody else is watching. But does this guy actually know Jesus? And is he known by Jesus? And can we see the power? Here's the thing. Please just understand the context of how I say this. We need much more than a sinner's prayer. We need much more than a sinner's prayer. You can go to the next slide, please. There we go. We need much more than just the sinner's prayer. And please, do not ever think that I am knocking that. It is a beautiful moment. It's a moment that is needed often for somebody. But that's only the beginning. That's only a trigger moment for the whole of your life that is one of believing and having faith and walking with Jesus, a good shepherd and your Savior. We need to walk with our good shepherd and Savior every day. And I know we know this, but we can so easily be swept away by the ways in which things are being done around us. Let's jump into Scripture again. Hebrews 13:20-21 says, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. We love that. We know that. We confess that. Here's the thing. The great shepherd of the sheep. Elsewhere it says, head shepherd. The great shepherd of the sheep. The great shepherd. By the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight. So He is in a relational process with us, this good shepherd. And so we don't knock. We love a sinner's prayer. We love that moment of conviction. It's beautiful. It's teary. It's hoenderfleis. It's amazing. But then we need to tell each other, you are going to walk and follow the good shepherd for the rest of your life. You're going to get to know him. And he will one day say, I know you. Come and join me. Come and join me. And so having that type of faith that you live it out, am I saying you need to deserve it? No. If you lay down your life just after you've confessed and received him, you're in it for the long haul. But I'm also saying we need to be careful of cultural lies that we can just do what we want, live the way we want, because one day, way back, we had some experience and said a couple of things, but we are not faithfully believing and living out that faith and belief in our lives anymore. Are we hearing each other? Does it sound too harsh or hard? Because what I'm going to get to is the fact that we need this closeness, this intimacy and closeness with Jesus. Matthew 9:36 says, and this is Jesus now walking around, and maybe sometimes even to the day he'll look down and he'll say the following. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd. So here's the thing. Who remembers that the day or that time where they were washed clean, where they met the Lord, where their life really changed? Who remembers that time of faith? It's beautiful, right? Do you just still remember that shepherd? Is he still the same shepherd and savior today? Is he? Or is it ebbs and flows and sometimes maybe not so much as others? Let's be honest. Anybody? Ebbs and flows. Thank you, Yuri. I love all the honesty. We need to have coffee this week, by the way. Crappy, but we have to. But here's the thing with the good shepherd. Is he still so close as he was in that moment? Is the Savior still the Lord of your life in every day? Is that the belief? Is that the faith that you're carrying in your heart? And if not, we need to say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me with this. But the thing that we sometimes miss, and I think, again, a challenge to me, is the very basic question that once you start living for him, saying he's Lord of your life, you've laid down your life, you become part of his flock. That means that you are now, if you are in the flock, you are? You're very sheepish in saying what it is. If you are in the flock, part of the flock of Jesus, and he's a good shepherd, what are you? Yes. Don't worry, now everybody's like, what gaan hy nou doen? Ek het die doom nie, niemand gaan gras eet nie, chill. But we need to be in the Bible. We need to be upon scripture. We need to be honest with what he said to us. Children of God, saying, Abba, Father, being sheep of his fold. It speaks of humility. It speaks of helplessness. It speaks of great need. Do you still realize your need for your shepherd? Hallelujah. I want to ask us, there's times where I've maybe grown out of it for a moment, and then, hallelujah, bah, life will just help me to be reminded that I'm sheep again. Is it the God that belittles us? No, he's telling us and showing us a picture of how much we need him. Otherwise, you can be a lamb chop. Yo, I actually wanted to. I don't know if I can be such a holy blessing unto somebody else, but I hear you, Sharon. It depends. It all depends on who brides it. It all depends on who brides it. John 1:12 says, believe. So that believe is not just this once off. We love the fact that there's conviction and change in somebody's life, but then we could get called into this place, a reality check of being sheep of his flock, having him as our shepherd and living in this close-knit relationship with him. Go read Psalm 23. Go see all the places in which the Lord shows that clearly to us. But this word believe actually means to entrust, especially one's spiritual well-being to Christ. It is to put your trust in him. I know we know this, but I'm asking, are we living this? Because one day he's going to come back. It might be tomorrow. He's going to say, Do I know you? And then it was built upon a lifestyle of faith. What does this faith look like? One confession? No. It is a lifestyle of daily confessing. I trust Him. I don't trust myself. I don't trust the system. I trust Him. I trust His Word. I trust His Spirit. I trust His body that bears fruit and lives in the fear of God, that seeks Him daily. I have trusted Him. Mike said it. You've had conversation. Now, I haven't heard of sheep speaking, but you hear my heart. They've spent time in the field. I know Tien Spo, who planted this church, as he left, he told me, and I'm like, I'm going to change the world. But thank you. Any advice? He says, the pastor or the shepherd needs to smell like sheep. But here's the thing. Jesus Christ smelled so much like us that He came down and gave His life. And He continues to do that. And He calls us into it. But we have a decision. We have a daily decision in getting to know Him, to getting to know His example, His Word, and His Spirit. And I'm not saying you're not doing this, but I'm checking my heart. Can I live this out? Am I living this out that I truly and honestly trust Him in all? Is ek vuurwarm in all areas? Do I trust my shepherd with finance, with my kiddos, with the future, with the ministry? And that is the question that He's going to pose to our hearts in this time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. In how many ways should we acknowledge Jesus? Let's just break that down. What does that mean? Like what things? Big things? What you watch? Yes. What you do? What you eat? What you speak? What else? What is it? You see, all of a sudden I check, if somebody says something, I'm going to check, is this sheep or goat coming up in me? What is manifesting here? Ba or Sahat, Exalni? We've got a flesh, guys, and we need to deal with it. But here's the thing. We can only hear His voice and we can only follow Him if we sheep-like, because that is what He's called us into, this trust relationship. So just quickly, like, I had a busy week and yesterday busy in preparing, and then I just made a fire. Who believes that you should be outside when you make a fire? Sorry, it's not a different sermon. Don't worry, we're going somewhere. So I took an old Weber and I made a fire on my grass, and I took off my shoes and I could just sit there, and it's just like I can just be. And then Sophia started to play around. She plays her own little game, and I'm like, go on, because I'm hearing her play her game. And then within a couple of minutes, I'm sitting there just looking at the sunset, looking at the fire, being like, oh man, thank you, Jesus. And then she just comes and sits on my lap. And there was no big revelation, but the revelation is this. There's such a peace. There's a moment that, like, I can actually just screw it up with words. It's just a moment, like, for 5 minutes, you just sat. We had no admin, no issue, no discipline, nothing. We just sat there, stared at the fire, and just sat. And in that moment, I just realized, when last have I had that with Jesus? When last have I had that with my good shepherd? It's either just, I don't want to do this wrong, or we need to do this, or running here, running there. But at the base of love, can I just sit with you? Being sheep, knowing that you've got this, knowing that you're faithful, knowing that I belong, and then just hear your heart, just hear you breathe again, Christ. And then if you want to speak, just then I can actually be ready to hear. So all the men go like, Liffy, vanaand, moet ek op die gras gaan sit en braai. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, create space with Jesus. He's your shepherd, the lover of your soul, your Lord. And it's not in the doing. Please, we're not going to stop. You see, we do stuff, but it's not only in the doing. It is in the being. Not having a phone, not having some distraction, not something that you need to drink or take in to ease the pain. No, it's just you and Jesus. Okay, and a fire, but you hear the heart. Just to be. We've been called for relationship. And we need to grow in that trust. And so in Malmesbury, I could honestly say for 3.5 years without income, the heart that came from that is God just stripped me from all the things of this world. And He called me into a place of real trust. That I had to feed on His word. I had to feed on His voice. I had to feed on moments just like being with Him, knowing that if I look with my mind's eye, things are a total mess. Yet, but when I trust Him being a shepherd, when I hide myself under Him again like one of His flock, I know I'm fine. That's the people I believe that will be powerful. That is the remnant that the Lord is needing. The second thing we need to know Jesus and knowing Him is hearing His voice. John 10:27-28, you know this. I've probably said this countless times, but may it pierce our hearts. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Look here, this is what we need. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. This thing is packed with goodness. This is packed with promise. You can almost build your whole life just upon this, in my humble opinion. My sheep hear my voice. I want to ask you, do you still value the shepherd? Are you okay with being sheep? And then do you value His voice? Do you value His voice? Because He says, He promises, my sheep hear my voice. The flip side is also true. Those that are not sheep don't hear His voice. I can't hear God.
Bah.
Maybe an idea. Be humble again. Come back to the basics again. Come back to Scripture again. Come back into the light again, maybe. Whatever the case may be, is if you have been struggling, and I'm not saying sometimes the Lord withholds you because He tests you. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. But I'm saying if you honestly never hear God's voice, hey, let's check our hearts. Say, Lord, make me a follower of You truly again. Because His sheep hears His voice. I want to speak of you if you need to hear His voice. You will hear His voice. Follow Him. Follow me, He says. And then you will have eternal life. You will not perish. You will not be snatched. So don't worry. And then He says the big promise there. I know them. So He knows them. In John 10:4, it says, when He has brought out all of His own, He goes before them and the sheep follow Him. For they know His voice. It's so beautiful. We travel on missions, and then you meet somebody for the first time in your life. We had a moment in Luxembourg where we meet three people. We sit around a conference table in their very Larnia offices. We talk a bit, this, that, and the other, la di da, and then we start praying. Boom, immediately. These guys know the same shepherd. They carry the same spirit. Other side of the world. It was a divine setup. And now, it's a year later, and we've been doing online church planting course. Everybody's still on board. Why? Because we met them, and we've got the same spirit. We have the same shepherd. Not because we've got this perfect plan, and we've got this nice backup, and we've got these CVs. No, because we've got the shepherd. We have the same shepherd, and we hear His voice. A stranger they will not follow. I want to say this again in the season. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Hypothetically speaking, there might be goats and sheep in our lives and even in our church. Here's the thing. Goats have a tendency to follow the voice of strangers. Sheep has a tendency, we're made to follow the voice of the shepherd. We don't have to make this complicated. And so we need to check, Lord, help me not to follow the voice of the stranger. And we don't become all fixated with the voice of strangers. Is it demons? Is it devils? Is it these things on YouTube? What is it? No. Just become more in love with the shepherd and His voice. Then you will know what is fake and what is strange. That's easy. Some people get so fixated about what can be off and what is deception. No, relax about deception. Just have more of the real. If you have more of the real and of the authentic and of the truth and of Christ, have more time with the shepherd. If you and him are like this, then don't have to worry too much about the strangers. In our lives and lifestyle at the moment, the devil doesn't come like, the devil.
speaking to you as a stranger.
Nee. Comes with deception. How? Amongst others, 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, and the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. How does the strangers talk to you? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Has the strangers ever spoken to me? A lot. But I need to make sure I've been with the shepherd enough. I've spent time with the shepherd. I know his voice and I love and value his voice more than the love of the world. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And there's many other demonic ways in which the enemy speaks, but that's not what we're here for today. Number three is to follow Jesus. We're going to skip that. You can go read the scripture at home. Number four is loving Jesus. It is just caught in all of these and laying down your life. You can go read that, but we're going to quickly end this with sacrifice and with suffering. That is not the only thing of your Christian walk, right? Otherwise, it would have been tougher. But Scripture is clear that the road is narrow and few find it. That's Scripture. Narrow and few find it. Say, narrow and few find it. Yes. But what is the zeal? What is the heart? What is the fuel of why we will be willing to lay down our life or sacrifice for Jesus? Why? We don't have much time. Glory, love. We love Him. Why, any parents in the house, I don't have to tell you anything about sacrifice. With all due respect to the rest. But we sacrifice for our children. Right? Hopefully. Yes, we sacrifice for our kids. Sam, do you sacrifice for your children? Yeah, she just laughs and cries simultaneously. She didn't really cry, that's just a joke. But here's the thing. We sacrifice and suffer for that which we love. The enemy would love to deceive us in the last days, saying, here's a gospel. Here's a gospel. Here's a following of the shepherd that will not cost you anything. In fact, just enjoy the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. When he comes, he will know you. Nonsense. That is not the full gospel. I'm not saying I'm calling us into works. And into law, I'm saying it is by grace that He will help you to love Him. It is by grace that He will help you to lay down your life. Even if you're called for a tough season or a storm, He will enable you. Remember, the new covenant is now in our heart, but it's part of His plan. It is part of His plan, and that's something we need to look at. Do we have a theology of suffering? If God asks me to pack up, put everything in seed form, and plant it so that somebody else, somewhere else can live and flourish, am I willing? But what about my kids? And our garden's really looking good at the moment, Lord. Am I right? It works. No. I've got one life. I've got one life, and one day He will stand before me and He says, I know you. Come. Come share in my glory. Because for a very short time, your fire was right. For a very short time, you allowed the fullness of the gospel to work in your life. You knew me. You trusted me. That is what we're called for. Philippians 3:8 says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. This is hectic. How much have you lost? Count it as rubbish so that you may know Jesus. This Jesus. No, some of us, the Lord says, do not drink, and they've given up that for Him. Some of us say, no Netflix, Stephen, and they do that for Him. Some of us have been called for many things. You've been celibate for your life, and you've been waiting, and you've been trusting the Lord, and it's been tough. Whatever it is that the Lord has given and granted as a cross for you, be sure He is faithful, and He is worthy of whatever He's asked you to give. 1 Peter 2 verse 21 says, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in His steps. I'm not saying put the cart before the horses. Love first, always. So I'm not saying let's go out and go suffer. No. I'm saying let's check our hearts, Be reminded of who this good shepherd is. Remember that we are merely flock and sheep. Take a humble posture and say again, Lord, help us. But Lord, I want to be in love with you. Have you ever seen somebody in love that kind of... Anybody? Anybody been in love before? All three of you. Jesus, help us. People that are in love is a bit weird. Real Christians are a bit weird. I'm not saying let's go do stuff and let's just work this out and put this law upon ourselves. No, I'm just saying let's be honest. Let's ask to be a people that is wholly in love with Jesus again. Close-knitted. Walking with the good shepherd. Because then, and that is part, then we won't mind to suffer for moments for the kingdom's sake. Then we will not mind to suffer now so that we will share in his glory. Will you stand and we'll quickly pray. Lord, I thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, that you are coming back and we want to be a people. And my responsibility, the elders' responsibility and the leaders is that we get equipped with the word through the spirit so that if you return, my heart would be that you know us as a bunch of people. We've taken on humble postures as sheep, also then enjoying and basking in your both your presence and your protection. Lord, that we will be a people, firstly, that have faith daily. Lord, that we will be a people that will honestly love and value your voice. And that we will not move unless we hear you, Lord. We will value your voice, Good Shepherd. And in that place, we will also be able to love you, listen when you command, Lord. Enjoy the beauty, but know that we need to also lay down our lives, for our home is eternal, and it's not here. It's not here. If you just want to walk very closely with Jesus and follow his voice and not the voice of a stranger, just one prayer tonight. You want to follow his voice, live closely to the shepherd again, and that he will keep the stranger's voices away from you. Just raise your hand. We're just going to pray into that in this moment. Lord, I thank you for our hands. Thank you, Lord. That's merely just saying, this is my faith and commitment. Thank you, Father God, that we just want to commit again and say, Christ, as we said, yes, right at the beginning, we just want to say yes again today. Lord, wherever we've fallen for the stranger's lies, thank you that you take away that deception and the lies of that. Thank you, Lord, that you will come and stir again a fresh love, a revival love in our hearts, and that we're loving you, following you, and also laying down and sometimes suffering for you will never compare to who you are and what lies ahead for us in eternity. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way in us. May us and our families be ready, but may we also venture out, love on others, that they will be part of your flock. We've got one life, Lord. Use it. Here it is. Here it is. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.